Okay, guys, welcome to Crane Christian Church. We are on our live stream, the Acts of the Apostles. This first, as I was studying this again this week, you know, this is what happens when you study. And you pray, and then you study, and then you pray, and guess what happens? It just gets longer and longer. I just don't know what else to tell you, okay? But Acts chapter 9, verse 20. And what's happened is that Paul has, at this point, he was Saul, now he's Paul, okay? But what's this? At this point, he has heard Jesus. He has got on his heart of what the truth is. And he has become just as driven to tell people about Jesus as he was to arrest people about Jesus. Does that make sense? Because he's a driven dude, okay? And he has reached that point right here. But this first point is, I could preach for an hour on it, and I won't, if I can help it. This first sentence, immediately he preached the Christ. He preached about Jesus immediately in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Some of you know this story. I was somewhere one time talking to a couple, and she was a Muslim. And you know, I love people. I love people. And I was talking to, he had actually, we're at his workplace, and he had went back and to put on another tattoo on somebody. Oh, okay, I guess gave it away. Okay. And so I was talking to her, and I told her, I said, you know, I was in Turkey for a year, and I had, you know, people I dealt with daily, you know, that were Muslim. And I said, what I didn't really understand is, I don't really understand the afterlife with what you guys believe. And she said, well, I said, well, okay, you die, how do you get to heaven? Just how do you get to heaven? Just tell me that part. And she says, well, what will happen is we will get to the gate, and they will ask us a series of questions. And if we can answer those, then we get in. And I go, well, what's the question? I mean, I was not being smarty. You know, I can be a smarty, okay? I was just said, well, what's the questions? She said, no one knows. I said, well, how do you study? She said, you just have to believe that as you study the Quran and as you live your life, you will find the answers to these questions. And I said, well, and she spoke great English, by the way. She was from England. So she probably spoke better English than I did. But the point being is, then I said, well, ma'am, what I believe is in a person. That person's name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. She said, oh, you mean the Holy Prophet Jesus? I go, I mean, literally, it took me aback. It took me back. And I go, I think we're talking about the same guy. I mean, I was serious when I said, I wasn't trying to be, you know. And I said, but here's the deal. He died on the cross for my sins. And the reason, when I get to heaven, the reason that I will get to go in the gate is because I've received him as my Savior. That's my message. And see what happened when Paul heard his voice? His message was not about how good you could get. And listen, be good, please. It's cheaper. Be good. Do the right thing. Follow the word of God. But listen, the message of the Christian church, Christian, I, mis, I'm saying it wrong on purpose. I'm emphasizing Christ E-N. Okay. The purpose of this church for 124 years is to proclaim Christ. And we believe with all our hearts as we follow him, some of this other stuff falls off. And when my priority gets to be about you versus my priority about me, as I begin to do that, guess what? My priorities change. As I begin to read his word and begin to digest that and begin to grow in his word and live in his presence, I change, you know? And Kim's glad for that. No, I mean that. Anyway. So, but the first point, you get this, that is our purpose, and is to proclaim Christ. And for some of you, you're not supposed to say nothing. You're just supposed to be him. For some of us, we're the yapper. We're the yapper in the body of Christ. I'm yapping. I'm going to tell, I told anybody that was standing still yesterday, I told them about Jesus, okay? So anyway, and if they wouldn't stand still, I'd walk alongside them because, you know, I ain't lazy, okay? So, but here's the deal. He preached to Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Is he the way,
yes,
the truth,
yes,
and the light?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
So if he is, then why are we focusing on everything else? On, you know, the new color combinations that Harley has come out with in 2025 are unbelievable. But it's not bothering me at all. So don't worry about that. So anyway, the point being is this, okay? That was his focus. The reason that was his focus is because he had been in his presence. And as we get in his presence, he will be our focus. And we will still care about the things around us. We still need to pay the light bills. Everybody know, you know, it's good that we can warm this place, cool this place, have electricity on. You know, all that's good, all that's important. And, you know, I drove Mama's car she's been gone for a long time, but I drove her car, and I'll be sitting in there with that leather interior, and I can hear her voice say, "Daddy, don't we have such a nice car?" You know? So, yeah, get you some leather seats, you know. A little bling for just a little ding, or how did she say that? Oh, a little flash for, or a lot of flash for a little cash. Okay, yeah, that was her thing. So, first thing is, that was his focus. The second thing is, always follows this. This is like gravity. I don't have anything right now. Yeah, I got a dirty handkerchief. If I hold that out there and I drop it, it's gonna go to the ground, isn't it? You know why? Because of gravity, okay? If I took my hand off that and it stood up there and went, woo, y'all would freak out. But not as fast as I did, okay? But gravity, you know, unless you're in one of them planes that's dropping real fast, or in case we all go to space or something, you know, I guess that's going to be available at some point. But anyway, but the point being is this, does that normally happen? Okay. This, what I'm going to tell you, is the same thing. If you proclaim Christ and him alone as your Savior, you're going to be persecuted. It may not be with guns. It may not be, but somebody's going to be yapping. Well, you know, they don't do this right. They don't do this right. They don't do this right because the devil can't stand the salvation of Christ. He can't stand it. He can't stand it. He hates him, you know, because he kicked him out of heaven. So I want to tell you, then those who heard were amazed and said, "Isn't this he who destroyed those who call his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, he might bring them bound?" But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Because see, do you think God knows what he's doing? You might here think God knows what he's doing. What they did is, Saul was going so hard in the other direction, he had learned every argument why he couldn't be the Christ, and then he meets him. And now he's got every argument already gone down. Everything they're going to say, he's done been there. You think God knows what he's doing? Listen, it's like a guy said that I was studying and reading about one time years ago. He said, you know, even even God needs a jester in his court, you know, and he called himself the jester in the king's court because he was pretty funny. And, but the point being is God wants to use you. He wants to use you. And you go, well, I'm not a speaker. Good. Keep your mouth shut. There's enough of us. Okay. But he wants to, you may, and here's the deal. I'm the guy who would not raise his hand in class because I couldn't talk. So where we are weak, there's one person. Where we are weak,
he is strong.
And I want to tell you, when you're the emptiest, it's when he wants to fill you the most. I'm just telling you. So, and in the middle of that, he's a perfect guy for that. And then, verse 23. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. And this is just, again, a picture of what's from one end of the Bible, one end of history to the other. Anyone who preaches Christ, the enemy is against. Now, you can be all religious as you want to be. You can be religious. You really won't get no persecution. I mean, in this life, there's trouble for everybody. But if you think that not wearing toenail polish is going to get you to heaven or whatever, I'm just making up something, okay? I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But if you think, you know, if you wear red lipstick, that's going to keep you out of heaven. If you think whatever, you know, he ain't going to fight you on that. Devil don't care. Because that's a small substitute for the real thing. He doesn't fight. And guys, I want to tell you, the bottom line is they want to kill him. And their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him, and the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. We call that, escape and maneuver, you know. And he got away from him. And God was watching after him because God's not done. And I have an odd, kind of an odd view. And don't get me wrong, I wear my seatbelt. Okay? I wear a helmet. Okay? Not in the car. Okay? On the bike. But I wear a vest when I'm doing activities that I need to wear a resistant vest. I do, you know, whatever it is, I do those things. Okay? But I have an interesting view that God is going to keep me here till he needs me somewhere else. Does that make sense? And I don't understand why some people that I love so much have gone, you know, ahead. But the bottom line is he didn't just walk up there and say, yeah, just go ahead and kill me. I'm ready to go to heaven. He did the escape and maneuver and got away from him. And don't be afraid to do that, okay? So they plotted to kill him, but jump down to, go to 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple. Hey, guess what? People can be ugly. Is that shocking to anybody? Anybody ever been talked about? I have. I like that Bonnie Raitt song. Let's give them something to talk about. Let's give them something to talk about, okay? And I don't mean a bad thing. I mean, give them a good thing, okay? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was going with them in Jerusalem and coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. That's number two. They tried to kill him again, you know? What's the enemy here? What's his assignment here? To kill, steal, and destroy, right? And he spoke boldly in the name of Jesus. They disputed. They attempted to kill him, but when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. And guess, you see a theme going here? He preaches Jesus. They come against him. And God uses his brothers and sisters to protect him. Is that, you see that happening? Does that give you any ideas that maybe we need to protect one another instead of all pointing, you know, I don't like the way she does that. I don't like the way he does that. maybe we ought to think the best of people, pray for them, love them, and support each other instead of standing on somebody's head to be 16 inches taller. Because here's the deal. Can you imagine me bringing Forrest up here and laying him down on the floor? I said, they just can't, y'all can't see me good enough. And me just standing on his head while I preach so y'all can see me. The total disregard for my brother. Can you imagine that? How, when God showed me that, and that's what the church does many times. We're just willing to hurt people. We're just willing, whatever. No. Jesus died on the cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Not so that I could, look at me, look at me, look at me. No, that's not why. Okay. And that's kind of what people do. They look, that person's doing this wrong, so that don't look, kind of like me when I was in class. I'd always draw attention to somebody else that's doing something wrong. Okay. So I could look on that person's picture and get the answers, or look on there, yeah, whatever. All right. So, verse 31, the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. Is anybody out here like peace? Man, I like peace. Sometimes of the evening, I can sit out there in the backyard and it's quiet and it's just peaceful and it's just nice, you know? And I like peace. And they were edified. What that means is that they were being fed, okay? That they were being ministered to, okay? And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were edified and multiplied. And guys, I want to tell you, I haven't told this story in several years, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it. So I was in a different area geographically, and there was a church. I went away to the military, and there was a church that began to grow. And when I say grow, I'm talking about, man, just grow and grow and grow. They began to publish pamphlets and books, and literally, this is why this is wrong. 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 They'd have a different pamphlet on each little thing, and this is why, you know, you should dress like this. This is why you should do this. This is why men should cut their hair like this. This is why women should pile it up high on their head. You know, whatever. Okay, just on and on and on. And it grew. Man, I mean, it grew. They had buses, and if there had been such a thing as TV ministry back then, they'd have had one. And it began to grow, and it began to grow, and it began to grow. And then what happened is exactly what it says in Galatians. It was not built on Jesus. It was built on personality, and it was built on we're better than them Baptists. We're better than them Methodists. We're better than them Presbyterians. We're better. Just built upon the backs of their brothers and sisters. Does that make sense? And what I watched from a distance, praise God, I was never too close. What I watched from a distance is them begin to consume each other. Because, you know, you ain't doing it just right. Because what Galatians says is essentially that all it does is build your ego. It doesn't build you spiritually. And so, look here, I'm better than you are because I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do that. And before long, they begin to consume one another. And now, I don't know that they even have anybody there. Because, guess what? It was built on sand. It was not built on the rock. And I want to be built, what I do, anything I do, I want to be built on the rock who is Jesus. Okay? And that's how you, if we grow here, I want to grow because we are proclaiming Christ. I want to grow because we're putting it on the rock, okay? And it's like a friend of mine told me years ago, he said, you know how many people have been through that church? Talk about our church. I said, yeah. I said, they're preaching in Arkansas. They're preaching here. One's down. You know, we got people preaching at the Methodist church that we mentored here. We got people here. We got and it's like, well, why do they all leave? I said, well, because it's a hospital. Only people stay in the hospital is doctors, nurses, you know, aides. You know, and it's a hospital. And here's the deal. I love it. And now, last week, we had 1,400 views on our combine our early service and this service. And I guess evidently the world needs a hospital. You think? Evidently the world needs some help. So anyway, and he is the help, by the way. Sure, not us, but we keep pointing toward him, if that makes any sense. Okay. Then it came to pass, as Peter went through parts of the country, he came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydia. And there was a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and paralyzed. And Peter said, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. He arose immediately, and all who dwelt in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. And guys, I want to tell you that there's tradition that says, you know, healing stopped at whatever. Okay. There's tradition that, you know, all of that was for the New Testament church to get the word out to Christ. But I just want to tell you that I'm mellower than I was a few years ago. I am. Some of you say, oh God, you was a mess. But no, I'm serious. I'm mellower. Okay. I'm nicer. But guess what? I'm still the same person. And I'm going to tell you something. God's still the same person. And when Jesus looks at us in our infirmities, I want to tell you, I've studied those scriptures again this week and got some jotted down that some of you know my story, how I carry stuff and get it out, read it, pray it, read it. And as I look at those scriptures, I think, you know what? When you were being beaten on that post, and Isaiah was in heaven, I believe they were watching that on the big screen in heaven. And I think Isaiah said, by his stripes. That's what I was writing about. By his stripes, we are healed. And guys, you said, I don't like it, Bruce. Well, I'm sorry. Then you ain't sick. Because when people are sick, that means something. It helps, doesn't it, to call on the name of the Lord. And I've seen him do, and you say, well, everybody don't get healed. I know. The Bible says that some sicknesses are unto death, okay? But, and you think I'm a healing specialist? You think I'm going to do a 10-week series on healing? I ain't. But I've got people in the congregation that have been healed by the touch of the Lord right here with us. And sometimes he does a little bit by little, and sometimes it just gets done, and sometimes we're learning to live in the storm versus him calming the storm, if that makes any sense. Okay. So then, verse 36, it even complicates things just a little bit more. Okay. And Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, who is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. Every time I read this story, I think of my friend Lazarus. And when I say my friend Lazarus, I do not know him personally, okay? But the story of Lazarus, which I have studied, taken apart, put it back together, studied it, taken back apart. But I mean, I have spent an enormous amount of time right there. And she was a good person. It's just the Bible talking here, okay? She was full of good works. Not like me, had a few good works. She was full of it, okay? She was charitable in deeds that she did. And then in spite of all that, she got sick. Does anybody else have a three-letter question they'd like to ask? Why? They're doing everything she can do. I know that sounds redneck, but it's the truth. The woman's doing everything she can do. Why? Listen, all things are working together for the good of them that are called according to his purpose. Is that the truth or not? All right. Then they had washed her and laid her in an upper room. And just the timing Guys, think about this, the wording of that. Where did the presence of God come in his fullness? And they all, with one accord in the upper room, waiting. You remember that? Acts 2:4. That's when God showed up in his spirit and showed up and showed out, didn't he? Anybody know what I'm talking about? They was carrying on so much. They was speaking. The Chinese was walking through. They were speaking in Chinese. And then some of them were showing out so much, they said they must be drunk. Right? And that's the first time that had to happen in a mass time like that. We just studied Saul, and he was slain. We'll keep going. And when they had washed her the litter, and Lydia was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and sent two men to meet him, imploring him not to delay coming to them. And when Peter arose and went to them, and he had come and brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments that she had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out. He said, I love you, but I need some time. I respect the way you feel, but I need some time. He puts them out and turning to the body. He said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And I want to tell you, I'm not telling you to go door to door to the funeral homes. That's not what this sermon's about. But let me tell you what I have seen in my life. I have seen people so dead in abuse, in drugs, in alcohol, in pervert, just so dead. And God raised them and bring them to a place that they were alive in Christ. I have seen it over and over and over. And that is what this says to me, guys, as we should be the people that they say, Bruce, these people need to talk to you. They need to pray. We should be the kind of people that walk in the power and the confidence of God and his grace and love. We shouldn't look at somebody that's waiting to go to death row for killing three people and say, well, you know, they need to cut his head off now. We need to be the kind of person that says, yeah, you're going to have to pay for what you did, but Jesus is enough for you. Jesus is enough for you. That should be, they should call us and say, Bruce, there's a guy here that's way past us. Way past us, okay? And And put them all out and knelt beside and prayed. She was raised from the dead. She gave her hand to his and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Can you imagine how that got around town? Can you imagine what happened on Instagram the next day? Just boom, 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 boom. Can you imagine what Facebook was doing? Can you imagine what Threads was doing? What X was doing? Because you're not going to believe this. Our friend was dead, and now she's... Listen, and that's... Here's the deal, guys. I'm being facetious about that. I know that wasn't there then. But it became known all through Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days with Simon, a tanner. And guys... Next week, we're going to go to chapter 10. And God has been speaking to me about Acts 10 for many, many years. But I want to tell you, he's calling us to be the men and women that represent Christ. And when we say we're a Christian, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the being a Christ representative, a ambassador of Christ, that we need to bring Christ with us, guys. And we need to be the men and women he's called us to be. And as we do that and open our mouth and live the life that he's called us to live, he will change the atmosphere around us. And Father, I thank you so much for these people. And Lord, thank you for giving us examples, new covenant, old covenant, all through the Bible, Lord, of how your presence changes things, Lord. And Lord, let us dwell with you, and as we go about our lives, that we into the marketplace and the places we live, that we would represent you, Lord, as the New Testament church, God. Still 2,000 years later, that we are representing Christ as the Savior of the world. And that we'd walk in humility and power and love. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, send me a message and say hi. If you have a prayer request, call us. Go to go to theoldlawdog.com online, and you can watch or listen to this as a podcast. You don't have to look at my face. A lot of people like that. So, all right, have a great day. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace.